Hi, and welcome to the Medium podcast. My name is Irma.
And I'm Kyle.
And today our topic is Brexit. First, we're going to go through a timeline, where it all started and where it's heading. Next, we're going to hear interviews with two students, Jeppe and Charlie, who are going to tell us their experiences and opinions on the topic. Lastly, we're going to finish off by discussing the consequences of Brexit for the Erasmus program and giving our personal opinions. And now Kyle with the timeline.
So, the whole Brexit timeline started on the 17th of December 2015. That's when the House of Commons gave the European Union Referendum Act their royal assent, and this provided for a referendum on the UK's future membership of the EU.
Well, Britain is now one step closer to voting whether or not to stay in the European Union. On Tuesday, lawmakers there overwhelmingly voted for a bill setting up the infamous in-out referendum.
On the 22nd of February 2016, Prime Minister David Cameron announced the EU referendum date, which was set on the 23rd of June 2016.
If working people's jobs are safe, or how much prices would rise. All they're offering is a risk at a time of uncertainty, a leap in the dark. Our plan for Europe gives us the best of both worlds.
On this particular day, the UK held the referendum on their membership of the EU, but the majority of voters chose to leave the EU.
Well, at 20 minutes to five, we can now say the decision taken in 1975 by this country to join the common market has been reversed by this referendum to leave the EU.
Then a day later, on the 24th of June 2016, Prime Minister David Cameron announced his intention to resign.
I will do everything I can as Prime Minister to steady the ship over the coming weeks and months. But I do not think it would be right for me to try to be the captain that steers our country to its next destination.
3 weeks later, on the 13th of July 2016, Theresa May was officially pronounced to be the new UK Prime Minister.
I have just been to Buckingham Palace, where Her Majesty the Queen has asked me to form a new government, and I accepted.
In her first party conference speech on the 2nd of October 2016, she announced the Great Repeal Bill, but also confirmed that Article 50 would be triggered before the end of March 2017.
But yes, I mean, I will be saying in my speech today that we will trigger before the end of March next year.
Theresa May kept her promise, as on the 29th of March 2017, she indeed did trigger Article 50 of the Treaty on the European Union.
It was a moment of history, a piece of diplomacy, and also the start of a long goodbye. Captured in Brussels only by photographs, the Article 50 letter delivered by Ambassador Sir Tim Barrow to the EU Council President Donald Tusk.
A few months later, on the 8th of June 2017, the general election results came in. The snap election she called a few weeks earlier resulted in a hung parliament, with the Conservatives winning the most seats and Theresa May still forming a government.
I have just chaired a meeting of the cabinet where we agreed that the government should call a general election to be held on the 8th of June.
In the same month, on the 19th of June, the first round of the UK-EU exit negotiations began.
I hope to organise the first round of negotiations as soon as possible, hopefully in the week of the 19th June.
On the 10th of December 2018, Prime Minister Theresa May pulled the final vote that was planned next day on a Brexit deal.
Hi, Adam. Yes, I can give you an update. I've just heard from a government source that the vote will be pulled this afternoon in that statement.
A day later, she won a vote of confidence in her leadership of the Conservative Party.
We have some breaking news in our world lead now. British Prime Minister Theresa May is safe, at least for the moment. Just a few moments ago, May survived a no-confidence vote from her own party.
On the 15th of January 2019, the Prime Minister lost her meaningful vote for the first Brexit deal, and the Leader of the Opposition tables a motion of no confidence in the government.
The ayes to the right, 202. The noes to the left, 432.
I therefore, Mr. Speaker, inform you I have now tabled a motion of no confidence in this government.
A day later, Theresa May survives this motion of no confidence by just 19 votes.
The ayes to the right, 306. The noes to the left, 325. Yeah!
On the 29th of January 2019, only a few days before recording this podcast, it was voted for Plan B. This plan was accepted and Theresa May is now on her way to the European Union to negotiate about the deal. Then, in a few months, the 29th of March 2019, the UK is finally expected to leave the European Union.
So thank you, Kyle, for the comprehensive overview of the timeline. Now we're going to move on to hear from what our peers think. We spoke to two students from abroad who are now studying in Amsterdam. What are their thoughts on Brexit and how will Brexit affect their time in Amsterdam? Jeppe from Denmark and Charlie from the UK update us on their thoughts on this complex problem.
Okay, my name is Jeppe. I am 23 years old and I come from Denmark. I used to live in Copenhagen, but now I've been here for 4.5 months.
Hi, I'm Charlie. I'm from the UK. Grew up in London, so I moved to the countryside a little further out.
We also asked them how they would define Brexit, and this is what they said.
Brexit for me is the UK leaving, maybe not the UK, maybe just England, leaving the European Union. And I guess they have their reasons, but that's like the base of it.
Honestly, it's a shambles. No one knows what's going on. I think that's one of the issues, is that it's quite difficult to define it. Apparently the people of Britain voted that they wanted to leave, but I wasn't one of them, so it's not my vote.
Brexit is expected to have severe consequences for our society. We asked Charlie and Jeppe for their views on the potential changes that Brexit causes for our generation.
I think it's going to have more impact than you just think right now. I think in 5 years we will start to see the actual consequences of Brexit, and I think it means a lot that someone actually leaves the European Union, because in 5 years we will look back, and if people have the same kind of problems with the Union, then maybe you'll be more inclined to vote to leave the Union because you've seen others do it. And if it's a success for the UK, then I'm a bit afraid that it will create an unstable European Union, like, eventually.
Yeah, I think it's going to make that much more difficult for English people who want to live in Europe. That's going to be tricky, and if you want to go and travel around, you're going to have to get loads of visas and what have you. And yeah, on the other side, it's going to be harder for European people to come to the UK. But I think more than anything, it's adding fuel to that sort of the way that politics seems to be going at the moment. Everyone wants to distance themselves from other nations and other cultures, and I don't like that. So I think it could lead to a more close-minded society, but I'm hopeful that it won't.
Then we asked Charlie and Jeppe what they think the reasons are for the UK to leave the EU.
So there was this quote of this massive amount of money, apparently, that the UK put into the European Union and wasn't getting back, but that was misquoted. It was sort of just the statistics were manipulated. I guess part of it's that sort of sentiment of all those old British guys going, I want my country back, and it's stupid, I guess. I mean, one of the arguments was that we didn't have a vote for entering the European Union. Like, we never got a choice, we just got put straight in. And so I think part of the reason for having the vote was just to give people a choice. But in all honesty, it really wasn't clear. I think part of it was that David Cameron was on the Remain side, and because so many people hated him, they assumed that remaining was the bad thing and that leaving was the good thing, because he's the bad leader and all that. That also played a part, I think.
Jeppe answers the question, did the Erasmus project change his experience as being European?
I definitely think it did. I did not actually care so much about the European Union before going here, because I didn't really see the benefits. Of course, I've been traveling in Europe and it's been easy, because with my family, you can just bring my passport and you can go anywhere. But this whole thing about moving for an extended period of time to another country, I think that makes up it's important. It was important for me, and now I've got to see how it works and how good, how well functioning it is. So I think that's definitely made me more pro EU. I think I was very neutral, maybe not very like didn't have an opinion before, but now seeing how it works has just made it like it's a good thing, I think.
The students answered the question: will Brexit have an effect on the education and social environment?
I think it's very important. I mean, you can only know so much within your own culture. And it's the same in Copenhagen. Like, we always applaud if people come from outside Denmark to like study and to do research in Denmark, because you can like you get so many different ways of doing stuff. And even though like academic research and methods are kind of like streamlined, then you still get to learn something new every day, especially with people coming from outside your own culture and outside your own university. So I think it will eventually heighten the quality of education.
I'd like to hope not. I think if you're a British student, you're choosing to study abroad or just move abroad despite Brexit, and like you clearly want to be there, and so you're going to treat people with respect. And I assume that I'd like to think that people wouldn't treat British people differently just because of a choice that some people made. I don't know.
Then lastly, we questioned Charlie and Jeppe on their suggestions for improving the European Union.
I think my personal opinion on it would be that they would have to kind of be more aware of how they regulate things. So it's kind of, if you have like an extra institution or body like that governs your government, then it might feel like even though you go to vote and like you have elections for like presidents or prime ministers or whatever you have around the world, then EU, then if you feel like that vote doesn't matter anymore because EU is the actual governing body, then I think it's going to be, I think we're going to see more people leaving, like more nations leaving the EU. So I think they should maybe take those consequences into consideration when they decide what to do in the next few years, and maybe go back to more of the fundamental EU values, which were like the four freedoms and like that kind of stuff. I think is very important, but regulating stuff like maternity leave, I think maybe that's a good thing, but like which kind of chemicals you can put into toys for children, I think most nations would be aware of that themselves, and that does not need an extra body.
More communication is something that needs to be had, and simpler communication. I feel like a lot of these politicians, they purposefully frame things in a way that makes them sound more complicated than they are and make it harder for the populace to actually understand the how the system they work, how the system they live in works. And like for me, that's always been a big problem with all governments and all sort of things like that. They don't clearly say what they want to do, how they're going to do it, and how it'll affect you. For me, it'd just be a clearer and simpler breakdown of what the rules and regulations are and how that will affect you on a societal level and how that will affect you on an individual level.
Let's please keep up the Erasmus. Don't, like, please let's not leave everybody because this is so important. I think that's it. It's so important that you can go out and have an experience of a lifetime, and making it easier for students, like all of us, everybody here, is monumental for the development of academia and for universities all over Europe.
Nice. Cool. Thank you very much.
Well, personally, my experiences with Brexit are quite limited. The only things I really see are in the news. But I tend to follow it a lot because it's something that interests me. And personally, I was really baffled when it came out that the UK was indeed to leave the EU. And I just couldn't believe it. But yeah, they kind of got it on themselves. Well, especially the young people, for not turning up to vote. So yeah. But yeah, I kind of feel like the older generation might be. Of course, we can look in the future and see how the UK will turn out without the EU. But chances are, and experts think, that it might be detrimental for the UK, especially if there's a no deal Brexit. So yeah, I just don't hope that the older generation will have ruined the future of the young Britons.
Yeah, I agree. I was quite surprised when it came out that they actually voted out to leave the European Union. And yeah, I agree on everything you said. Also, I would say my experience is a bit different since I live here in Amsterdam and don't quite follow that much news. I don't watch news on the TV on everything. So I feel like my only view that I get and views that I form are if I go into their internet and search for the news for Brexit or watch videos on Brexit. So I feel as a European Union citizen, I'm quite uninformed on this issue, which I think it's gonna influence my and my peers' life. And yeah, I think we should, especially as young people, as the ones that are gonna be the future, I guess, of the European Union, should really look into things like this more, because first is the UK. You don't know, maybe your country might be next that's gonna follow.
Next it, you never know.
Exactly. Also, from my personal experience as well, I don't see myself as living in the UK or even working there. So I feel like that might be why I'm not as knowledgeable. I see.
I mean, for me, it's quite different because I want to have a minor in Manchester, possibly. So yeah, it's not just out of interest that I follow Brexit. It's also out of personal relevance. Like, if there indeed turns out to be a no-deal Brexit the 29th of March, it might become a problem for me to do the Erasmus program and go to the UK, a country that I've admired for a while. I've been to London numerous times. It's just an amazing city, in my opinion. But yeah, I mean, we'll probably get a bit of British in Amsterdam, especially with the big companies moving out of London, moving into Amsterdam, because Amsterdam is a bit of a tax haven. The Netherlands is a bit of a tax haven for big companies. So yeah, after the whole influx of expats from India, we might now have a whole influx of expats from the UK. But yeah, it's something that might be very hard for the UK to overcome. But yeah, I just hope there turns out to be a deal between the UK and the EU. But yeah, the EU is kind of playing hardball by saying we want this and nothing else. I mean, they're in their right because, yeah, UK wants to leave, so why be very gentle to them? It would be so much easier for example, traveling there.
So yeah, my decision to come to Amsterdam to study was pretty sudden. I didn't really think of studying in Europe as my first option, but when it turned out that I couldn't go to the United States, I looked around Europe, and the Netherlands and especially Amsterdam seemed like a good place, and especially a good place for to start a career and what I'm studying, which is communications. So that's why I chose. And also, I feel like the fact that education is so accessible between all the countries. I come from Lithuania, and I could easily relocate to Amsterdam and be able to pay my tuition fee. I'd be able to meet all these people that come from different places and kind of come together. And yeah, it's really one of the beneficial things of having a multicultural classroom as well, having people from all over the world talking on the same issue, expressing their views on the same issue. Yeah, one of my friends, she has a British passport. She doesn't consider herself fully British, but yeah, she has a British passport and she studies here with me in Amsterdam. And yeah, not too long ago, she got a letter from the government basically explaining the Brexit and saying how now she has to go in and get a residency permit, and she's kind of uncertain now in the way where what are going to be the limitations on working in Amsterdam and all the allowances that she now gets from the Dutch government.
So guys, thank you for listening to the Medium podcast. Subscribe to the podcast on whatever service you're listening to it. And I guess for us, it's now time to Mexit, Medium Exit.
podcast was produced by Gilda Bruno, Thomas Carver, and Kyle Hassing. The presenters are Irma Kremelita and Kyle Hassing.